Good morning. Good morning, lovers.
Good morning, lovers.
I'm excited. I'm really excited. I've discovered someone very special in my life. I have someone very special in my life. I have someone very special in my life. This person excites me. This person makes me feel all warm and fuzzy, all over and all inside. This person makes me beam and smile. She's gorgeous. She's fantastic. He's got a great mind. He makes me laugh. He? You've got someone special in your life who's a he? What are you, some sort of homosexual? This relationship is not a sexual relationship of which I'm talking. This relationship is beyond that. This relationship is of the world, but not in the world, but not of it. This person, this he, this she, is me. I like myself. I love myself. I've had this relationship with myself for quite a while, but just recently it's come into its own realm. It's come into something very, very special. I love spending time with myself. We go for walks, and myself points out all the wonders that we see. It shows me the sunrises and the sunsets. She points out the beauty that is everywhere as we wander. He makes me laugh. He has a wondrous sense of humor, myself. He points out little things. Look at that. If you look at that this way, it's funny. And it is. And I laugh. Myself and I laugh. Myself is practical. Myself has great ideas about doing things. Often I'll have a little task and I'm sitting there thinking, I know how to do this. I know how to do this. And myself says, yes, try this. Do it this way. And sure enough, it's magic. It flows. It's fun. Being with myself is great. I was lying in bed this morning thinking, I'm going to give a talk about being myself and having fun, about the special relationship I have with myself. And I was thinking of points I could bring up, examples. And myself gave me all these great ideas. Myself yelled at me, tell them about the first time we met. Tell them about the time we spent together up in the mountains for 4 weeks getting to know each other. Tell them about going to the University of Healing and getting to really know each other, to really expand on our existing relationship. Ooh, great ideas. I'm excited by my relationship. I'm so excited, I'm going to get engaged. I'm going to get married. It's going to be a big celebration. And I was thinking, How fantastic. If I wait another 3 or 4 months, I can get the Reverend John Charles Dainty to marry me to myself. Wouldn't that be great? I have fun with myself. Everywhere I go, I take myself. We laugh and giggle. Myself is a cheap date, I've discovered. I take myself out for dinner, and it's always the 2-for-1 specials everywhere we go. I don't have a big telephone bill, a big long-distance bill, ringing myself up, saying, I love you, how are you going? I can do it just like that. It's instant. I don't have to drive across town to see myself. We're always together. It's just so easy. It's just so convenient. So where did we first meet? Where did I first meet myself? I thought about this morning when myself reminded me to, that would be a good thing to tell him about. And so I said to myself, well, when did we first meet? And myself said quietly, John, we've always been together. We've never been apart. And that's true. When I think back, I always have been with myself. Myself has always been there. When I was quite young, I spent a lot of time with myself. We were always doing things together, exploring this new world. And then as I got a little bit older, I sort of got interested in other things and other people and spent more time with them. And then as I got older, I discovered girls and thought, this is great. But myself was always there. Whoever I was with, myself always seemed to be along. It was like a threesome. And then, as the years went by, and recently, whenever I was out with somebody, I found that I was always looking at myself. I had developed a new interest in myself. And no matter who I was with, whatever I was doing, all I had eyes for was myself. I was seeing myself in everyone and in everything I did. And so I thought, why not just be honest with myself and say that the only real person in my world is myself. And when I opened myself up to this idea, I thought of all these great advantages of being myself, being with myself all the time. And when I did this, myself really started to have fun with me. Myself really started to give himself to me. Myself really started to talk to me about the wonders of life. And it is wonderful spending time with yourself. Because in reality, for me, that's all there is. I'm excited because I've found someone special in my life. I'm excited. I'm elated. I'm warm and fuzzy because I've found someone special in my life. Good morning, free monks.
Good morning. Good morning, what?
Free monks. Three monks who are free. Today is Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Woohoo! Sunday. What a great day. Today is Sunday. Today is a day of comparative freedom. Today is an attitude. Today is an attitude. Today is an attitude. Today is Sunday. It's a day when we take a bit of a break from the normal program. Today I take a break from the normal program. It's a day I do more of what I desire to do. Today is Monday. Today is the day I do what I desire to do. I am in control of my world, and I do whatever I truly desire. Today is Tuesday, and I do what I desire. I follow a program in which I do about 3.5 hours of uni work in the morning, another hour and a half in the afternoon. I'm doing what I desire to do. Today is Wednesday, today is Thursday, today is Friday. Each of these days, I'm doing what I desire to do. Today is Saturday, and I decide to do some cleaning up around the monastery and the campus, to clean the sumex. Today is the 29th of January. Today I celebrate my arrival on the Earthwalk. Today I celebrate my life. I celebrate who I truly am. Today is Christmas Day. Woohoo! Today I celebrate the Christ child. Today I celebrate the Christ in me. Today I recognize this element of myself. Today I give myself gifts. The gift from self to self. Today is Easter Monday. It is the resurrection. For every day I die and every day I am born anew, I recreate my world. Today is Lincoln's birthday. Today I celebrate freedom from slavery. Today I celebrate my freedom from the conditions that bond me, from hold me, from expressing my true unlimited nature. Today is Martin Luther King Day, because I have a dream and I celebrate that dream. I stand tall and proud as I live my dream. Today is Secretary's Day. Today I exhibit self-discipline. I set my world in order. I am a servant to all, in that I may be a master of myself. Today is Secretary's Day. Today is Remembrance Day. It is not for me a remembrance of soldiers who have fallen in war, but as a remembrance of my immortality, my undying nature. Today, I remember that I am eternal, that I live forever. Today is Valentine's Day. Whoa! Smile. Today I celebrate the lover in me. For I am the best lover in the world, trained on loving myself first. Today I celebrate the love that is me and the love that I see in the world. The love that is all. Today is April Fool's Day. Today I celebrate the jester in me. The fool in me. The wise coyote aspect of me, the cunning in me, the trickster, the giggle, the fun, the deep message. And today is Carnival. It is a celebration of life. It is a celebration of the outlandish, the bizarre. Today, I dress myself up and be all that I can imagine. Today, I am somebody else from my normal self. Today, I explore whatever I conceive of myself to be. I explore the infinite, and I play that game, and I am that person. That being. Today is an attitude. Today can be broken down into a series of moments. And each moment is an attitude. And in reality, I only experience that particular moment. And in that particular moment, I am Valentine's Day, I am Christmas Day, I'm the 29th of January, I'm April Fool's Day, I'm Lincoln's Birthday, I'm Martin Luther King Day, I'm Remembrance Day, I'm Secretary's Day, I'm Carnival, I'm all these attitudes right now, and as I do this, I express my purity, my pure nature. Today is an attitude. This moment is an attitude. This moment is an attitude. And it's fun being that attitude.
Casper.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm sitting here with a white sheet over my head. And you're thinking, ooh, it's going to be a ghost story. Well, if it's a ghost story, maybe it's the ghost of Christmases to come. This morning, we have a special event. We have an unveiling. That is what we have. So, without further ado, Dean of the University of Healing, monks of the Absolute Monastery, people of my world, I give you the one, the only, Johnny Happy Seed! Instantaneous happies. This is great. Johnny Happy Seed. Here he is. Sitting right in front of you. All these happy, happy people I have created. So, who is Johnny Happy Seed? Is Johnny Happy Seed this person sitting here with cut-out eyes and behind his glasses? Maybe? Let's further unveil.
Oh, I want to see if he has something strange with
glasses. Johnny Happy Seed is me, John Charles Dainty. Johnny Happy Seed is the new me, the old me, the me that is now unveiled, the true, eternal, inherent guy who sees happiness and joy wherever he looks. He plants seeds of happiness wherever he looks. He plants them and then lets them be. He doesn't need to sit around and water them, take care of them. The law of cause and effect does all that. I merely need to put that cause in motion, to see the good in my world. And I can do this wandering through the Sahara Desert. I can do this wandering across America. I can do this wandering anywhere in the world. I can do this wandering on the 104 acres at the University of Healing, God Unlimited University of Healing, Campo, California. I can do it wandering around within the confines of the monastery. I can do it within my mind. I can do it just sitting and being. For here I can find the goodness. I can plant the seeds of happiness. There is no need to wander across America throwing my seeds. I can plant them just where I am. So, how do I plant my seeds? I plant my seeds by smelling something nice in the kitchen in the morning and saying, that smells good. You smell good. I plant them by thinking to myself, Anita looks great with her hair and pigtails, like a little child just having fun and being wild and crazy. I plant seeds by thinking of Ellen and the excitement that she brings into my life when she comes back from town with all sorts of exciting, wonderful things, like a roast chicken or a Harley Davidson keyring for somebody. Whatever. I plant seeds of joy and happiness when I look to somebody with yellow glasses on and think, yes, there is fun to be had in playing with glasses. Yellow ones, ones with cut-out eyes in behind. I look to Ingeborg and I say, thank you for darning my socks, for continuing to let my socks live, my special woolen socks that I enjoy wearing. It is easy to plant the seeds, for they lie everywhere, everywhere they are. So, what else does Johnny Happy Seed do in this wonderful life? Johnny Happy Seed goes on the internet and every couple of days beams out to his world the joy and happiness, the exciting things that are happening on campus. the wondrous good things that he is seeing, experiencing in his life. Johnny Happyseed writes a column in The Gist and invites people in his world to write in, sharing all the joy that they have in their life, all the miracles that they are experiencing. And in that, their miracles are my miracles. Johnny Happyseed has fun. Johnny Happyseed is fun. Johnny Happyseed wanders around having fun. And so it is. Today is the unveiling of Johnny Happyseed. Enjoy.
Hallelujah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Charlie stands alone, finds something special. Charlie stands alone, finds something special. Charlie stands alone, finds something special. Charlie stands alone with a Choctaw Indian, or as the white traders used to call them, stuck jaw Indians, because they never seemed to say too much. He lived in a village on the edge of a great plain. It was a beautiful village. It was at the end of a narrow little gully that headed up into the mountains, green lush mountains, granite covered mountains that surrounded their village. It was a village of plenty. On the plains, the buffalo roamed, and in the mountains, there were deer and all sorts of beautiful berries. Charlie Stands Alone. Stands Alone was a name his grandmother had given to him when he was born. Charlie Stands Alone had been a great warrior. He had killed many buffalo and was well respected within the village. But Charlie Stands Alone was not a happy man. Within him there was an ache for something he was not sure what it was. He had sought counsel with the chief, and the chief suggested he honour the village. He had sought counsel with his parents, and his parents had suggested that he honoured the family. He had sought counsel with the village medicine man, and the village medicine man had suggested he honour the many spirits. He had sought counsel with his friends, and they suggested we all go hunting together and kill some more buffalo. And he had talked with the white traders, and they had suggested that he honor science and the modern tools and the trains and the locomotives and all the wondrous things that were outside of his world. So it was one day he heard a voice inside himself that said, go alone into those mountains. And so he arose early one morning from his teepee, and he took two blankets. He took his knife. He took a fire-making stick. And he took his flute. And he took a small amount of water. And he wandered up the valley towards the beautiful waterfall, which was at the end of the gully. He crossed from that valley into another valley, and then moved up onto a ridge, a long ridge which overlooked the village below, a ridge which the villagers called the Ridge of the Ancestors, because all along this ridge were large outcrops of rock, stone, which the villagers had always said were the ancestors of the village. And as Charlie Stands Alone wandered along this ridge, looking at these rock formations, he could not see ancestors. All he saw was interesting rock formations, one that looked like a wave, one in which he could see the head of a lion. And another one, which made him giggle, for it looked like a nose lying back on the ground, pointing itself towards the heavens above. He wandered along the ridge, and then he dropped down into a gully on the other side. It was a gully he'd never been to before, but it was a gully in which he could not hear the sounds of the village. He could not see the smoke from their fires, and he knew that when the evening came, he would not see the lights from the village fires either. He wandered up this gully and found a beautiful spot. There was a small spring which came out of the earth. He tasted it, it was fresh and good. And there it was a small pond, an overhanging rock, and several beautiful big oak trees. This, he thought, would be the perfect spot to spend 3 days. So he laid his blankets on the ground and lay down and immediately fell asleep. He was tired from the mental torment. It was not a physical tiredness, it was a mental tiredness, and he slept all day. And he dreamt. He dreamt of a woman called She-Wolf, a woman he had known in his past. She was of the darkness, and as he dreamt of her, he had a hunger in his loins, a throb in his loins, for that had been their relationship. In the dream, she had taken him into his lair. It was a dark cave and it was dirty, and he had an ill feeling about it. It did not feel good. In the morning, he woke and went to the pond. He sat in front of the pond and meditated. He played his flute, and the sounds echoed off the canyon sides. The birds harmonized with his playing, and so did the breeze rustling in the trees. He closed his eyes and listened. When he opened his eyes, he looked down and noticed on his lap a seed pod, which must have fallen from the tree above. He took the seed pod and threw it into the still pond. And as that seed pod hit the water, from its center emanated rings, spiral heading out in all directions evenly. He saw in that he was the center. He was the primal cause of his world. And everything else, all the effects, came from that very center. Before he had lost his vision, he had lost his vision in several ways. He had lost his way in life. He had also, his eyesight wasn't quite as good as it had been when he was younger. And so now, he looked up to the hills and he said to himself, I now see. I'm in control of my world. I now see. I now see everything that is along the ridgeline. And if at the moment I cannot see it with my eyes, I know what is there. I know what is there. And he played this game with himself all the time he was away. That evening, he slept again. And this time, he dreamt of Catwoman. Catwoman was also a familiar face in his world. She lived in his village. She was in a relationship with him, and she too caused a hunger in his loins. But she didn't entice him into his lair, into her lair. She had smiling eyes, happy eyes, And this was different. But still, that hunger was there. And still, he did not feel in control. He also had another dream. He dreamt of himself walking back to his village. And he saw himself walking through the entranceway into the village. And as he walked, the chief came up to him and was talking to him. But he did not hear what the chief was saying. He was still walking. As he walked, the medicine man came up to him, and he also was saying things to him, but Charlie did not hear what he was saying. His mother and his father came up to him, and likewise, he did not hear what they were saying. He walked straight ahead, his smiling. He was not sure who he was walking to, but it didn't seem to matter. He was happy. The next day was the third day. He woke and washed himself in the stream, in the pond. He brushed his teeth, he combed his hair. He packed up his things in the afternoon. He dismantled his camp. And he walked out of that valley, up onto the ridge, again playing his flute. Light of heart. As he came to the ridge, he was aware of a tall, straight column standing there on the skyline. It was a rock formation he had not noticed before. It was there, standing all alone at a high point on the ridge. Wow, he thought to himself, that is beautiful. And he walked up to it, and he noticed that two of the sides were very smooth and in the shade. And he placed his forehead against it, and it was cold, but definitely strong. And he walked down the other side. And this side was a little bit rougher, but it was in the sun, and he placed his head against it, and it was warm. And he thought, this is me. I am all of this. And he walked back along the ridge and dropped down into the valley. And as he was walking along, he saw a deer on the side stream. And he smiled to himself, because that morning in his meditation, he had thought of Deer Woman. Deer Woman was someone new in his life. Deer Woman was beautiful. Deer Woman was innocent. Deer Woman was full of fun and joy. And in his meditation, he had roamed and played with Deer Woman. And there was no attachment. There was only joy and fun and sharing. And Deer Woman and the deer smiled at him, beautiful big brown eyes winking. And he went and he drank with the deer in the stream. And he said to the deer, I will return and play with you another day. Today, I have other things to do. And in that moment, he heard in the sky a quack, quack of the raven flying overhead. And he was reminded of that thing that he had to do. There was a meeting in the village. And he had made a promise to himself that he would be there for that meeting. He was not going to the village because someone had asked him to be there. He was going back to the village, to that meeting, because he had made a promise to himself. And he knew that that was all there was in his world, was himself. For he was the allness. And that promise that he made to himself was very important. And so he walked back into the village through the gate. And people did not rush up to him. People smiled at him as he walked straight and tall, alone, back into the village. And he was content, for Charlie Stands Alone had found something very special. He had found something very special inside of himself. He was the allness. He was the allness.